All right, how's it going?
Bigger one. Did you want to start with anything?
No, I'm good.
I was curious. You take something from every coach. I assume that either coaches under you or that you coached for. And I was curious what, when you think about coaching under Bill Parcells, what you took from that experience.
Quite a bit. Bill and I were together for a long time. I think Bill's got a lot of strengths. One of them would be the big picture.
When you say the big picture?
Just the big picture. Like, what are the 3, 4, 5 most important things we have to do this year, this week, to be a good team? I mean, there's 1,000 things, but, you know, he would identify what the big things were and concentrate on those. Can't lose sight of those.
The reason I ask is Dan Campbell played for him, I think, 3 years, I want to say, in Dallas, and he's talked about what he took from Bill Parcells. I'm curious if you see anything the last 2 weeks since he took over that team that comes to mind that might connect that, make that connection.
I don't know. I mean, they've obviously played very well, so how closely that's connected or not connected, I don't know. It's probably better something that Dan could speak on.
Tom spoke yesterday about being balanced offensively. Was that a point of emphasis this week, given the lack of the run game on Sunday, or is that simply a goal every week?
No, it's just starting.
A goal every week's to win. It's not about balance. It's not about stats. It's not about anything except trying to win. I mean, that's all we try to do is win. I mean, the rest of it, I don't really care about.
You guys will have Willie McGinnis honored at halftime as part of his Hall of Fame thing. How much do you enjoy seeing Willie back?
Oh, it's always good to see Willie. Yeah, all those guys. Oh, it'd be great to see him. I don't know how much we're going to see him, but Willie, you know, he was here when I got here in 96, and then here when I came back in 2000. Great football player, great patriot, great leader, very versatile, tough. We go on and on.
Has the notion of balance maybe become a little bit outdated or antiquated just because there is the ability to specialize so much on both sides of the ball? That it can turn into, you don't have to just, we have to run to keep them honest, or we have to pass to keep them honest. It's the maybe the length of the play in terms of how far the ball travels, where a pass can work as a run anywhere?
Yeah, it could. I think that's kind of was, not that I ever coached under the West Coast philosophy, but I think that's a little bit of the West Coast philosophy in terms of the passing game and the running game, which goes back to, you know, the Paul Brown days. So, I don't know.
Was there handoffs or short passes?
Because a lot of people count handoffs and completed passes and combine that number and use that as a formula for their offensive production. So, I don't know. You look at have the statisticians look up those kind of numbers. I mean, I'm not really sure.
It's a little late, but I'm going to ask you one quick question that I didn't hear asked the other day. The blitz in the first half that caught Tom on the third down where you guys were empty, you ended up taking the sack and taking the field goal. Was that play defensively what the Jets showed you, that look, similar at all to what happened in the second half when you were able to release Gronk and get the touchdown lead?
We just obviously made a mistake. Didn't coach it and play it right. At the end of the game, they brought everybody. So.
Similarities in this. What we saw this earlier.
They got us on a look that we didn't handle properly, and it got us.
It was Deion Lewis that we practiced this week. I mean, what's your sense of his ability to play tomorrow?
We'll see tomorrow. I mean, we didn't really practice this week, so based on that, I mean.
Another
A lot of us could have got through practice. My mom probably could have got through practice.
Do you see how he warms up tomorrow and kind of go on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we, you know, most of those kind of decisions are game time decisions. Sometimes they declare earlier than that, but, you know, generally you don't want to take a player out a day and a half before the game and test them when you could give them another, let's call it 36 hours and test them, because that might be a different, you might see a different result. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Sunday, right before halftime, I'm just wondering what your thought process was in terms of going for a really long field goal, 64 yards, I think it would have been, as opposed to letting Tom, you know, drop back and try and throw it downfield to make a big play. What is your thinking there, as opposed to maybe toward the end of the game when the 3 points would be maybe obviously a lot more important?
I mean, I don't know. My thought process is always really the same. Try to do what's best for the team based on the situation and whatever the conditions are and so forth. So, I mean, believe it or not, I always try to make the best decision for the team. So if I thought the best decision was to kick a field goal, I'd kick a field goal. If I thought it was to go for it, I'd go for it. I'm not saying they're all right. Probably a lot of them are wrong, but I try to do what I think's best. So whatever all the factors are that go into that, then that's what we do.
I think you've said this before, though, that the decision before halftime is significantly different than the decision at the end of the game. Is that right?
I mean, I don't know about that. It's definitely a lot different than it is in the first quarter. I mean, you miss a long field goal in the first quarter and they got the ball at midfield. You miss a long field goal at the end of the half and the half's over, you know. But, I mean, if you get it blocked or like what happened in the, you know, we've seen it in some other big games where somebody put somebody back there and now you're trying to cover a long field goal with a bunch of guards and tackles out there. I mean, I don't think that's a great play. You know, now if you think you can make it, that's one thing. If you can't get it there, then, you know, now you've given the ball to, you know, probably one of their better players. You got a bunch of offensive linemen trying to cover against that. I mean, I don't personally think that's very smart to do. If you know you're not going to be able to get it there, or you've got like a 1% chance of getting it there, I don't think that would be a good decision. Now, it's the last play of the game. It's your only chance, you know. It doesn't make any difference if they run it back or not at that point. But if that's a factor in the play, then that's part of the whole decision-making process, too. So, say it's one thing to miss it. It's another thing to get it run back. It's another thing to get it blocked. I mean, that's, you know. So, combination of all those things, it's, you know, somehow you put it together and try to do what you think's best.
Those half-ending plays, I sometimes think back to, I think it was Arizona back in 2004 with Stephen Neal. He guys threw the end zone at Arizona and he got injured on the run back. He was lost for a while.
Branch?
Yeah. And I thought back to that when those half-ending plays came up.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Tom, you can't take out insurance on players, so. You know, you got to go out there and play the game. I don't know who's going to get hurt, when they're going to get hurt, what play they're going to get hurt on, or what's going to happen in the game. I mean, I don't know how anybody can, you know, once you can figure that out, then you need to get out of your business. I need to get out of my business. And we can all do a lot better doing something else once we know the answer to those questions.
I'm just thinking of the relative upside of,
hey, we got 2% chance.
Yeah, I think when you call a play, I don't think you're thinking about that. Like, I'm not going to call this play because I think this guy might get hurt. I mean, I don't know how you can coach a game like that. I couldn't coach it like that. I don't know.
How big of a challenge is it for an offensive line to try to keep Cameron Wake in check for, you know, four quarters?
He's tough. I mean, their whole defensive line's good. They got good depth. They got a lot of good players. They're good inside, they're good outside. Vernon's good. Wake's good. Sue, Mitchell, Shelby. I mean, they roll them all through there. They got a lot of depth. They got a lot of good players. So Wake's a huge challenge, I mean, for anybody. You know, I mean, we have different guys on him, but whoever's blocking him, he's a big challenge. But, I mean, so are the other guys. I don't think you can – I don't look, you can't double all of them, you know. And a blitz, you can't double any of them because you got to pick up the blitz. So you gotta block them. But they have a very good front, very disruptive. He's got a great knack of strip sacking, get his hand on the ball, sometimes his right hand, sometimes it's his left hand, but he has a great presence and just instinctiveness, whatever it is, to not only make the sack, but a lot of times, you know, get the ball when he's not even going to make the sack, but he's just able to swat at it and knock it out of there. So, yeah, he's a big force. That whole front's, good. Any of those guys could kill you. So, you know, we'd have to do a good job all the way across the board.
Two more questions.
The trajectory of sort of Julian Edelman's career, it seemed like the first 4 years were sort of one part of it, and then the most recent three have sort of been something altogether different. And I'm curious, one, if you see it that sort of the same way. And then,
the first year he caught like 37 passes or whatever it was, however many it was his rookie year. Then the next 3 years, I don't think he caught 37 total. I could be off on that, but something like that. Look, that's another good question. Not everybody's development is straight line. There's some ups and downs, some downs and ups. I'd say the most consistent part of Julian's progression has been the punt returning. Got better, kind of in a step-up fashion like you would expect it to. Some of it's opportunity. I mean, in his case, some of it was definitely health. So, which affected his production, some of those kind of, lesser productive years. I think it's another thing for a player who's been a productive player, who has, timing with the quarterback and the passing game and so forth, to be out and come back. And it's another thing for a guy who's never really, really established that, to miss it and then try to come in and establish it in, a fairly short amount of time, and then that time goes by and then there's another setback, and it's just hard to get that consistency.
Last question.
How would you see James White's progression? I think he played more on Sunday than he has in the year and a half that he's been here. Got his hands on the ball a few times.
I think James has done a good job for us all year. Last year he really didn't play very much and didn't have much production. This year, even in preseason, I would say his opportunities to play, he was productive, running the ball, catching the ball, and as a blocker and pass protection. He's a smart kid. He doesn't make many mistakes. And he had a couple pretty good guys playing in front of him. It was different. I'm not saying it's the same, but I think, some of the same things we said about Vereen his first 2 years here, that he wasn't any good, but he was playing behind Woodhead. He was playing behind, some pretty good players, and so he didn't have much production. And then there were a lot of, comments about how good he wasn't, but the fact is, once he actually got a chance to play, he was pretty productive too. So I would say in White's case, last year, look, some of that's the opportunity that the player has. You got to make the most of it. But sometimes when you have good players playing in front of you and they're productive, it's hard to get in there. You only get one ball. So it's hard to get in there and, get those opportunities. I'd say this year he's had the opportunities. He's done more with them, and he's gotten more, whether that's partially because of him, partially because of the opportunity. It's a combination of both. But you definitely have to be able to take advantage of those opportunities when you get them. And I'd say he's done a pretty good job of that this year. Certainly room for improvement, but that's a lot of times the development of those younger players is the function of opportunities, like similar to the Edelman situation. Some of that's sometimes in their control, sometimes it's not, but it's definitely a factor. All right, great, okay, thanks.